One cell, is this on? Are you ready?
What's up, sleepers?
As ready as I'll ever be.
That was a hell of an intro. Did you make that on your own? That was amazing.
Yeah, I put that all together, man, because I am ready to rumble. I'm ready to talk about the rumble.
I'll be honest. I think the intro may be the best part of this show, at least of what we're talking about.
Well, when we get to that, we're going to talk about the amazing last five entrants in the Rumble and the not-so-amazing other 25 entrants.
So, Adam, I didn't get to, like, my second drink yet. You want to not, like, come with the jokes yet? I'm not ready to absorb them.
All right, so we are today talking about the Royal Rumble. This is Adam, and I have with me I have Nick and Steve. And Joseph, and those of you who listen to our WrestleMania review, you would recognize both Nick and Joseph and their backgrounds as far as wrestling goes. And we have a special edition of Steve here with us today, and Steve is also a wrestling aficionado. So I was going to kind of ask you guys, what's your experience with wrestling? Why are we doing this show? Why is it on a fantasy football podcast? What's going on?
Well, I mean, it's the off season.
Yeah.
Super Bowl's coming up. There's no more fantasy football, and
exactly.
Well, there's wrestling, and WrestleMania season is usually fun. Usually, I say, because you know, I don't know how this one's going to turn out. So far, not so good. But we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll turn around.
I don't think you can say it any better. I mean, fantasy football players need something to do in the off season. If we're not playing another fantasy sport, we like to engage in something that's completely unreal, completely fake, which would be professional wrestling. Even though,
whoa,
what am I breaking the rules?
Language,
use the F word.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Jesus. Right. Seriously,
right off the bat,
predetermined.
Right?
Sorry, predetermined.
There we go.
So, Joseph, welcome
you're
back.
Come up with that foul language. You better get yourself off the show right now. That's all I'm saying, Steve. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
Joseph, welcome back to the show, man. We have missed
you over
the past year. You know that when you were on this last time, we were 100,000 downloads less. So there are certainly at least five people who are listening to this show right now.
Yes.
And there'll probably be five more because you're on, Joe. So thank you.
Thank you for bringing those.
Fans love talking about the things they love, but we like bitching even more. So let's talk about this Rumble.
Let's get into it for sure. Before we get into it, just a real quick question. What's been your thoughts on wrestling from 2016? We're into 2017, but what was your thoughts on 2016 as we waved goodbye to it?
Who do you want to go first, Adam?
Go ahead.
All right. So the way I look at wrestling from 2016 is it started off with a bang. AJ Styles came to the WWE. We all thought we were saved. Unfortunately, WWE Creative Booking said, no, we're not going to let him save it because we still run the show, and decided to take everything from that moment on and turn it mostly into shit with sprinkled with some good things in the middle. You know, AJ Styles' title run was great. We've had some great moments from Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. WrestleMania 32, I'd 16 was about 5, if I had to rate it out of 10.
What about you, Joe?
I actually thought this was a great year for wrestling. Just maybe not so much Monday Night Raw, but the network has been killing it. The Cruiserweight Challenge was phenomenal. The UK tournament was phenomenal. I think SmackDown has generally been knocking it out of the park. Monday Night Raw has kind of been testing my patience on a weekly basis, but I think the rest of the company has been doing great.
Yeah,
you know, I think that creative has just killed it for me. But I agree with everything you just said, Joe.
Yeah.
I forgot. Nick's on the show. I won't have a chance to talk. I want to go in between these two and say it's been okay. I was interested when AJ Styles debuted. I watched WrestleMania. I kind of lost my interest at the brand split. More than anything, it was just too much wrestling to watch every week. And I started to wander a little bit. I watched a lot of NXT. I love the Cruiserweight Classic. But I started to watch some other wrestling promotions as well. But I came to this Royal Rumble. I wanted to have fresh eyes. My challenge to the WWE was, okay, show me a great pay-per-view. Get my interest back up. I want to be a fan again.
Well, did they succeed or did they fail?
Well, if I tell you right now, it'd be the end of the show, wouldn't it?
All right. So I actually recorded some of my favorite moments, and we're going to listen to a few of them throughout the show. So before we get to trivia, let's get to one moment that I thought was pretty funny this season with Brock Lesnar.
You got kids.
I do.
I got kids too, man. Come on in here. I feel you. Let's talk about your kids. I don't give a sh** about your kids.
Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit about anybody's kids.
Nope.
That's John Cena's job to care about the kids.
So one thing we're going to get into is we're going to do some trivia. So I'm going to explain the trivia rules. We can figure out what the prize is going to be after, and our audience can play along. But this is real simple trivia, and we're going to see which one of you knows the most about wrestling, or at least wrestling themes, which is what the trivia is. We're going to play about 10 seconds of a wrestler's theme, and you guys are going to tell me whose theme it is. The first one to yell it out gets it. Got it?
Yes.
Got it.
Wait.
All right, we're going to play.
Do we have to answer in the form of a question?
you do not, and you okay. do not lose points.
Okay, good.
All right, so I'm going to keep score, and we'll start with a test question. So we'll just play it. You guys yell out who it is, and then the first person that gets it would get a point. But we'll just do it as a test.
Dean Ambrose.
And then there's your answer.
Okay.
So, you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right. Here we go. Question one.
Hornswoggle.
Yes!
Oh, I was going to say Finley.
Here's your winner, Hornswoggle.
All right. Next one. Go.
All right. Next one.
I got a point, by the way, for the record.
Yeah, you did. Dick got one. Okay, here's the next one.
Give him his point. Hey, yo! Can somebody call my
mama? It's about to get funky up in here. Oh, Brodus Clay!
Yes!
Yeah, I was going to call him Cyrus, so I didn't want to be disqualified. Don't run in captivity, Mr.
Brodus Clay! Oh. That was kind of a tough one, because, yeah, I was thinking the same lines of Joe, like, from TNA, but...
If Damn, I had said the Funkadactyls, would that have been right?
Nope.
What about Funkasaurus?
Nope. Funkasaurus I might have taken, but the Funkadactyls is not Brodus Clay. Whatever happened to Brodus Clay, by the way? Why?
Well, he's in TNA.
Is he in TNA now? How's he doing in there?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's not right. Dancing.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's not dancing.
I was reading something about theme songs that killed wrestlers, and Brodus Clay... was at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the problem with that one was it wasn't just his theme song. It was already Ernest the Cat Miller's in WCW.
True. But they never should have put him in that kind of gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that gimmick.
I thought it was funny that they built him up. It was like these monster promos for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then he came out like, ah!
Him and Prince Albert.
Oh, yeah, Sweet Tea?
Sweet Tea. I couldn't remember what his name was. Thank you. I forgot what they called him when he paired him up with Brodus Clay. Oh God, that was all terrible. And he was built
was
to
that,
be.
Was that what they called him when he was with Scotty Too Hotty as well?
Oh, I don't.
What, know. What, a Sweet Tea?
No, they must. No, they didn't call him Sweet Tea because he was. They called him Sweet Tea off Tensai. Am I correct? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Lord yeah. Tensai. That's right.
I can't remember what he was when he was with Scotty Too Hotty, but he had a silly ass name then too.
Yeah, he's been. He's had a lot of issues with the getting good characters. But.
All right, next one. You ready?
Yep.
So far, I got Nick way ahead.
Yeah, he's got two. All right, here we go. The Miz.
Christian.
I heard Steve. Did you say Christian, Steve?
No. I said Christian.
No. That was Nick again.
That's three in a row.
Killing it.
Baby.
I thought it was the SmackDown theme.
God, you guys are disappointed. Next year, if you guys can't get one, you're not invited to the WrestleMania. All right, next.
Welcome to the peep show, baby.
Next one, here we go. What's the next one?
Excuse me!
Vicky Guerrero.
Yes, Joe, got it. Heard him for sure.
By a hair. Just saying.
Steve Austin would say a frog's hair.
Yeah.
I'm a family friendly.
Oh my God! Vicky Guerrero!
I must have missed this era of wrestling with the woman screaming, excuse me, and people named Scotty Too Hotty and Sweet Tea. It sounds horrible.
Hold on, Steve. How could you miss the era of Scotty Too Hotty? That was the Attitude Era. Are you kidding?
No. Who is this? I never saw him with Sweet Tea and
you never
some
saw Scotty Too Hotty with Rikishi and Grandmaster Sekte? Are you kidding?
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
That was too cool back then.
It's so
great.
And then when Rikishi left, he was with Prince Albert for a little while, who would later be Tensai, who would then turn into Sweet Tea.
I remember Albert. I remember Tensai. I must have missed the Sweet Tea face. I don't know.
No, Sweet Tea came after Tensai, so.
Oh, yeah. My God. All right, so that was Joseph.
Before he became a coach.
Was that Joseph? Got that one? So it's, what, 2-1 now?
It's, well, 3-1.
Yep.
All right, here we go.
You think you know me.
Edge.
Got it.
I don't think my votes are getting counted.
You guys are all wrong so far, by the way.
Rated RKO.
You are correct.
Yeah!
What?
Woo-hoo, baby!
Oh,
Rated RKO. I just watched the Rumble they were in together with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker as the final four.
I watched their making fun of DX. That was probably the best segment I've seen somebody make fun of DX, where they were walking in and like grabbing their backs because they were old and Shawn Michaels couldn't stand anymore, you know, and he was on the ground and they had all that giant fake nose.
I'm sorry, but I think one of the best was when DX imitated Shane and Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
That was classic.
He kept grabbing his ear.
Yeah. Look at me dance, Ted. Stop it.
Oh, shit. All right, next one.
Mr. Perfect.
Yes!
Hi, I'm Wade Boggs.
Kurt Hennig.
People say that Warren Moon is a great passer. Around these parts, they say that Fran Tarkenton is the greatest. I want to introduce you to the perfect passer.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect. So, the passing part, do you guys remember that promo?
Yes, those vignettes were hilarious. They were amazing.
Was the same one where you would take like the triple flip dive.
When he jumped off the high dive. The pass he threw to himself, though. He stood on one side and threw the ball in the air and then caught the ball in front of who? Warren Moon or somebody in the end zone?
Yeah.
And celebrated his own passing touchdown.
I use the animated GIF of that instance as a logo on my fantasy football team this year. People loved it.
Anyways.
All right, next one.
It was great.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes!
King of Strong Style.
That's right.
They love this song in the arena. Jesus.
I'm not blaming anybody specifically, but that is the second time you've ended a topic and played the music while I had my beer in my mouth.
You need to drink after the trivia.
Well, you know, Joe. To be fair, I mean, Steve hasn't even gotten one yet, so
I just got the last two.
He's drinking more beer than me.
Steve is beating Joe.
I got two in a row there.
Oh, calm down, Steve. I got four still.
I think you got three.
I have Nick at five, Steve at three, and Joe at two, and I think we have two left.
Yeah, there's two left. All right, got to catch up. Let me know when you're ready, Joe.
Boom.
All right, here we go. Sasha Banks.
Yes!
Finishing strong.
The tie Nick here.
Oh, wait, how did he tie me? You said I was 5,
no,
3,
I had
and
four.
2.
That's right. If he wins, gets the next one, he'll tie.
Oh, yeah. It's a tie. Oh, I thought you said he just tied me.
I said he could.
Oh, okay.
So down to this one, buddy. We don't have a tiebreaker prepared.
You know what it is? I'm getting onto my third drink next. So.
I like Sasha Banks' entrance, but I hate those goofy glasses that she wears. I don't get that. The sunglasses they look like Venetian blinds.
Naomi.
I don't get that. But we're going to talk about Sasha Banks later. I got some issues with her whole thing.
Yeah. I'm beginning to as well. All right, so. We have one left. If Nick gets it, he is crowned champion. If Steve gets it, he is tied. And if Joseph gets it, nobody cares.
That's right.
Well, if Joseph gets it, Nick wins. So, Joseph, don't say nothing, okay?
Here we go. You guys ready?
Ready.
Number 10.
Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
Yes, Steve! Definitely first.
I don't know. I think we tied it up. Force to be reckoned with in the Royal Rumble
match Sunday. All right. Well,
I think we said it at the same time.
I mean, we go back on the tape here if you want later, but
I'm sure Steve said it first.
Make a poll.
But you know what? We can live with you guys being tied and having to break this tiebreaker at WrestleMania.
I'll see you at the WrestleMania show, buddy.
Sasha Banks.
A one-night stand? Yeah. Sweetheart, you're the daughter of Ric Flair. If it wasn't for a one-night stand, you probably wouldn't be standing here.
Woo!
So let's talk about some diva matches. Starting off with...
No. Hello. Whoa. No. Diva? Really? Come on. Women?
Women.
Superstars?
I'm clearly
I am behind.
Hey, Joe, refresh my memory. Was it Adam who kept saying the Divas title last year at WrestleMania show?
he was saying it last night while we were watching the Royal Rumble as well.
Oh,
it was
my
bothering
God.
Me.
We did watch the Royal Rumble together, Joseph. It's the first match we've watched in years together, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So the women—that's
because you enjoyed them being divas.
I did. Let's talk about the diva women.
This is a good match. Oh, I went back and watched the pay per view again today with my daughter. This is a good match. It did what it needed to do. So it wasn't for anything, so Sasha didn't need to win. It presented Nia as a beast. I mean, she is a 3-time women's champion, and Nia pretty much mopped the floor with her, ended it pretty fast, so makes her look strong.
I agree it made her look strong, but I think they missed... an opportunity here with Sasha. And they mentioned it in commentary that she was nursing an injured knee and that she wasn't wearing a brace. And I thought if they had put her in a brace, it would have made her look tougher that she was out there. you're right, the match wasn't for anything. But I think if Nia really, really pounded on that leg, it would make her look even more vicious coming out of it. Even if she didn't
True,
win.
They didn't
even
tell
if it,
a complete story, I guess.
Yeah, it to me, I enjoyed it for what it was, but I wanted more. Like, I didn't see enough characterization from either of them. And I don't really... I got issues with both of their images. I don't know why they insist on dressing Nia Jax up as, like, some kind of space queen. Why don't they put her in some street clothes? You know, she'd look tougher in street clothes. And I don't know what this does for Sasha. What do you think? What does it do for Sasha in the long run?
I don't think it does anything for her, but I don't think it was her. I think she's just about as over as she can be. I feel like at any time she can come back and start challenging for the women's title. So I don't want to say Teflon, but I feel like she's not, she's in no way hurt by just taking a job for Sasha Banks. I'm sorry. By just taking the job for Nia Jax. So she pretty much just had her big window that 6 months where she fought Charlotte back to back. I don't think she needed to be going anywhere. And as long as it didn't hurt her, as long as it didn't take her back any, I don't feel like it was that big of a deal.
Right.
I think that, you know, again, I didn't watch the match, but as far as what the results were of the match, I agree. I think that at this point, there's maybe a build-up going for all four of the Raw women to meet at WrestleMania, possibly. And that's what I think maybe this is all being built to, is that the four best on the brand are probably going to meet at WrestleMania. I don't know how much I enjoy that. I think I'd prefer a triple threat without Nia Jax, but... You know, they're building her up, obviously, so she'll probably be a part of that.
I think one of the things you just said is part of the big problem. The four Raw women, like, there's so many women doing so many things on SmackDown, and Raw just has those four. Everybody else on their women's roster is either hurt, injured, or suspended, and it's just like, well, send these four out there for a little bit, do this.
Right, and you know, looking back, you thought, okay, SmackDown is kind of lacking, especially when Bayley went. But then you were like, well, they're being built a lot better over there. They're being, they're getting a bigger push as far as a division
goes. Being
built.
Utilized in some way, especially now that Naomi's getting in the picture.
Exactly. There's not one woman on there that really hasn't had her moment to shine. And I guess,
right.
And I mean, you could say that too about Raw because they only have really four women, but really, like you said, they do have other women. They just haven't been utilized at all.
Yeah. I think also, I don't know if you guys agree, but I always kind of felt like when they brought Bayley up, they didn't really let her build up what made her so successful in NXT as like the lovable underdog. And mm-hmm. a little bit to the same degree with Sasha, that she kind of just got thrust into the championship picture really quickly. And I would have liked to seen Bayley have to fight her way up towards Charlotte, and then, oh, Nia Jax is in the way. And now she's got to overcome this monster before she gets the champion shot. And just more, like, behind the scenes. Because in NXT, I remember the couple matches with Bayley and Sasha were really good, but Sasha was a heel. And she did a great job of just being a real bitch. And that chemistry worked out so well.
Do we like Charlotte and Bayley? Do we like this them wrestling each other, or is this a one-off and they're done? And Bayley can move on to wrestling somebody else, and Charlotte can find somebody else to tackle her tag team or her women's championship.
Well, if you're talking in regards to the match at the Royal Rumble, I thought their match was really executed well. I thought it was a really good match. It gave it. They were given a lot of time to execute what they needed to do, and they told a good story. So I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was definitely a great match, a great women's match for sure. And I think that they have the chance to do even better, which makes me even more excited for them to possibly have another one-on-one match, hopefully at the next pay-per-view Fastlane. But again, like I said too before, in regards to the Sasha Nia Jax match, this is, in my opinion, being built for a four-woman match at Mania, and that's still what I think is going to happen for the title. But as of right now, though, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from Charlotte and Bayley. I just wish the stories on Raw could be told better for the women's division as opposed to just what we see in the matches.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be happy to watch either of these women do anything, whether it's to keep on this feud or do other things. I will continue to watch them. I think one of the ways that Raw and SmackDown got disproportionate was the women on Raw are great wrestlers, but a lot of them don't have any mic skills. It's going to be hard for Charlotte to carry mic sessions against all four of them by herself.
Right, and I think the SmackDown women are much more well-rounded as opposed to the Raw women, for sure. Raw may have better in-ring talent, like you said, but, I mean, I love Alexa Bliss, though, on SmackDown. I think she has the best of both. And of course, she's gorgeous as well. But, you know, she's got the best of mic skills and wrestling, in my opinion. She's probably the most well-rounded woman on the whole roster in WWE at this point.
That's why I was surprised Mickie James went to SmackDown. I was like, SmackDown seems to have everything they need. I didn't think they needed another woman right now, but...
I guess when you consider that she would have played fifth wheel to the four women on Raw, they probably wouldn't have had much to do for her.
I wonder if that's why they're keeping Emelina held back for so long to not play fifth wheel.
Well, she is supposed to come on Raw tonight. That's what I've heard. She's supposed to come out on Raw. So I guess we'll see what happens. But, you know, how many times have you heard she's supposed to be back and then they push her back? So we'll have to wait and see on that.
When is what's her name, the champion right now, the NXT champion? She's going to move up eventually, right?
Asuka. Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a hard one to pin down, though, because she's pretty physical, but she's tiny. And she's – I don't know if she's still unbeaten at this point, but she had a pretty good unbeaten streak in NXT. And people like her.
She's not been beaten yet.
She hasn't been beaten yet. But – she doesn't, I don't know, she never strikes me as, like, clear-cut good guy, bad guy. She's kind of just, like, foreign martial arts badass chick. And
your problem?
No problem at all. No problem at all. I don't know which Raw or SmackDown, which one she'd fit better in. Because they're going to have to put her somewhere she can show off her physicality. But it seems like what you guys are saying, I agree. SmackDown has more, they devote more time to it. I don't know if Asuka... first of all, I don't know if her English is good enough to do a lot of promos, but I don't know if she'd fit there better or if she'd fit better in the Raw Championship show. It's really hard to pick.
I think by default she goes to Raw. I think that she's going to be around more talented wrestlers, so that's going to be her strong suit, and no mic skills. So they're going to have her probably do a lot of matches on Raw when she does get called up. And show her off there, build her story through matches and not through mic skills, and maybe have somebody, if Charlotte's still champion by then, have her run her down on the mic and then, but run away every time Asuka tries to get to her. I think that'll be the kind of story they build. And therefore I think that's why she's a better fit for Raw.
Okay.
I would like to see Asuka remain on NXT as the NXT champion in maybe this is just fantasy booking, but I'm hoping at Night of Champions we can get a triple threat between the three women's champions. Not for the titles, just for pride, and I would like Asuka to be the champion for that.
That'd be cool.
That would be really unique. I'd really enjoy that if they did something like that for the Night of Champions pay-per-view, made it a combined brand pay-per-view. I mean, that'd be really interesting. That'd be a way to take that pay-per-view and make it something unique. As opposed to just, the usual, all the championships are on the line for one brand now. Great.
Yeah, the other pay-per-views, and especially the ones that are coming up before WrestleMania, are just space filler at this point.
I'm excited for Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, because I do enjoy the Chamber match itself. But then again, when I think more about it, it's going to disappoint me like the Royal Rumble match. So
It's going to be a huge letdown because everybody wants Elimination Chamber to change the WrestleMania main event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not going to. Speaking of main events, the one of the matches that we get to right after the Women's Championship is the Men's Championship. Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, no disqualification, with Chris Jericho suspended above the ring in a shark cage. Have your feelings changed for Reigns over the past year?
Anybody else want to take this first?
I guess you got to start where your feelings, where they were, where they started. Right? I mean, I never really thought he would be a great hero. I always liked him as just a tough guy. And the more often he looked mean and violent when he was being tough, the more I liked him. But it seemed like the crowd didn't like him. This match, I enjoyed the match. I liked the physicality of it, like the hard hitting. These guys both showed some good emotion. I don't know really what was in it for, I mean, in terms of KO's story, I guess Roman Reigns, he kind of fits into it a little bit, but I don't see Roman Reigns in the title picture much longer. I feel like Roman Reigns needs to just kind of go off and just be a tough guy, gain some credibility with the audience, and eventually do something where they like him. And this beating Kevin Owens or facing Kevin Owens, I don't think really did anything, because people really love Owens and Jericho right now, and putting Roman in a position like that to go up against them, I think doesn't help him become a fan favorite at this point.
I think the story here has been that Jericho and Owens have had to show tension, build up to around this moment, because now starts what I believe will be the build towards the inevitable Owens versus Jericho match at Mania. As far as the match at Royal Rumble goes, look, I think if this hadn't been a no disqualification match, this match would have been really bad or just mediocre at best. But with the no disqualification aspect, I thought this notched it up to a pretty good match. I thought that Roman Reigns, he thrives better in a street fight type atmosphere. We saw it earlier in 2016 against AJ Styles, which was a great match there. And most of his matches that he's had in the past have all been some stipulation where rules did not apply, that he's had a great match. So that's where he thrives. Anything outside of that, it's boring. It's predictable. And the thing is, Roman Reigns is like a gothic version of John Cena. He wears all black, but he beats everybody up. And no matter what happened, he gets hit with brass knuckles, and he still kicks out. I mean, come on. If that's not John Cena, I don't know what is.
Come on. I mean, Hulk Hogan used to get hit, turn around, shake his finger at the guy, say no, 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 and leg drop him and win.
With brass knuckles? I don't remember Hogan getting hit with brass knuckles.
I'm sure Hogan got hit with everything, and he got up.
There was definitely times he was a bloody disaster and hulked out.
Sure, but I mean, come on. Hogan is Hogan. I don't see that with Roman Reigns. Are you telling me Roman Reigns looks and feels the part of Hulk Hogan?
I'm telling you that they're breeding Roman Reigns to be right. The Hulk Hogan.
Right, they may want him to be, yeah. But that doesn't mean we are accepting of him being.
At all.
Which, actually, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about when we get to the John Cena match, but I don't want to get there before we're done with this. So we are not accepting. So your feelings about Roman Reigns have not changed over the year. If anything, they have decreased.
Let's dissect the last three Royal Rumbles that Roman Reigns has been really a part of. Like, really.
Wait, hold on. He was in the bottom. He was in the last four WrestleManias.
That's right.
Right. But the fourth WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania, those four, he wasn't a part of the main event. No. It was only the last three where he's actually
right,
been a part
first,
of the main event.
The thing that I think is interesting about it is that first one, the fans were the exact opposite. they so badly didn't want Batista to win, the fans were begging for Roman Reigns to win that Royal Rumble. And that's when his actual push started.
True, but at the same time, you have to consider where he was also. He wasn't forced down our throats. He was a part of the most popular trio that I can think of in a long time in the Shield. So if, you know, that it's funny. I think if you had put Seth Rollins in that position as opposed to Roman Reigns, people would have been cheering the hell out of him. If you had put Dean Ambrose in that position instead of Roman Reigns, people would have been cheering him like crazy. If you had put,
it's hard to tell without the Daniel Bryan effect, I guess. I guess it just is whoever was in that Royal Rumble where Daniel Bryan got screwed.
Right, exactly. Like, anybody opposite of Batista really at that point, minus the Royal Rumble where they had Alberto Del Rio and Santino Marella as the freaking final two, nobody would be
because
excited
that
for
one
those
where he won, that first one where he won, the fans were really excited for the idea of Rusev getting up and throwing him out.
Right,
they were cheering
exactly
for Rusev for a moment.
Right, they were chanting for Rusev. When Roman Reigns, who came into last year's Royal Rumble as a WWE Heavyweight Champion, got in there and got eliminated, everybody was ecstatic. They loved that he was gone. Loved it. That was probably the biggest pop of that night.
Well, you and did then, get a suck it chant. I mean, a suck it taunt right afterwards.
Well, yeah. And then people still, you know, could care less for Roman. He's been, you know, right. That first year was great. Everybody loved him. But look at these last 3 years. Nobody wants him around. And now what it looks like they're building up for this year's WrestleMania for Roman Reigns, he's going to get so many boos. They better turn him heel by WrestleMania.
Oh, you're talking about who faces the Undertaker?
I do not think they will be turning Roman Reigns heel anytime soon.
I had to think, Nick, are you talking if he faces the Taker?
That's right.
I think that's the best opportunity to turn him heel. If they're going to do it, and they should have done it by now, but if they're going to do it, have him do something heinous to beat The Undertaker. If he did something,
you know,
against
to
the
beat
rules.
The Undertaker?
Yes, if he
no,
did something against
please
the rules. Because,
no,
yes, he's going to be hated, and he's probably the most hated guy right now. But if he beats The Undertaker by unsavory methods, he will be absolutely reviled.
I just think that the match itself is going to suck. That's a problem with it. Like, I don't think they're a good fit for each other. If you had talked about Undertaker maybe even 10 years ago, maybe that would have been a great match. But now? I mean, Undertaker looked old. Like, if he hadn't already looked old the last couple of years, he looked really old this year. Like,
he looked a little beat up in that Rumble.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is it for him, unfortunately. But if this is really it for him, I wish they would pick somebody better than Roman Reigns to be his last opponent at WrestleMania. That's what's depressing me.
It won't be his last WrestleMania.
It's got to be. He needs
no
full
way
hip replacement.
No
Are you
way
kidding?
No way. Not gonna happen. It'd be like Ric Flair. Be like Ric Flair. He may say it's going to happen.
Michaels.
Yeah. I think these guys have a real hard time hanging it up. And I think
I'm
somebody
sure
like
do
that who is known for not hanging it up, something will have to happen to force him out.
How many years are you going to say this isn't going to be his last year? This isn't going to be his last year until you realize, holy shit, this is his last year.
His last year should have been losing to Lesnar.
Well, I agree and disagree in some ways. I think there's pros and cons to if he had made that his last, but I don't know. I mean let's look at it this way. He lost to Brock Lesnar in what was a really bad match. And afterwards, I can't think of one thing that Undertaker has done that's been like, wow, that was so great that he stayed around. I mean, the only thing I can think of was the Hell in a Cell match between him and Lesnar at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I thought that was a pretty good match. But otherwise, any other Undertaker match after that match, I don't think has been quality. I think it's been pretty shit matches. Like, I would hope when they make a Best of Undertaker DVD, like for the 10th time, I hope they don't ever put any of these matches from the last few years on that DVD. Because they've been shit.
Yeah, you're right. He can't bank on the quality of his work right now. It's more just name value. So
it is.
Exactly.
It's the fact that he's a legend.
Yeah, but the right. but the legend has to go eventually, and I think he's such a wrestling he's so into the wrestling world and how things are supposed to work, quote unquote, that I think he's gonna go out to help someone else go over. And whether it be somebody turning heel by just destroying him and cheating against him, or, you know, putting up a hell of a fight, the best fight of his career or something. At this point, it looks like he can't do it in the ring where he's going to have a great match. So I think it's going to be somebody that just demolishes him, but does it in a horrible way. And I think Roman Reigns could be the guy.
Well, you know,
I just don't think that's the right way to do it. I'm
who
sorry.
Is, who is the guy, who is the man, the 16-time world champion, right? I mean, his time is now.
Oh my God! You California lib, I swear.
Let's talk about John Cena. What did you guys think of the match?
The AJ Styles John Cena match?
Yes,
it was a good match.
I thought it was a great match.
It was a real good match. I don't think it's match of the year like everyone's saying, but I think it was a real good match.
Well, I mean, listen. The year only started, so I guess they have a point to say it was match of the year, considering okay. we're only in the first month of the year.
Even still, I think maybe there were some better matches at the UK tournament.
Yeah, you know what? I can't speak for that. I didn't watch the UK tournament. I'll be honest. I just had a hard time with it because I don't know anybody in it, and that's just on me. Maybe one day I'll have nothing to do, and I'll go back and watch it.
I didn't know any of them either. They did a pretty good job. They did a real good job. They told a real good story throughout that tournament.
Okay, so that'll have to be something I'll have to. That'll be something I'll have to go and look into. But if I'm rating it now, I'd say yeah. Right now, that's the best match of the year for me, and that's only because that's all.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Exactly. I will it finish the best match of the year? Probably not. But as of right now, sure. I thought it was a great match. You know what is funny to me is I have to go back to SummerSlam and rewatch the AJ Styles John Cena match from that show because I asked myself, is this better than that? And I couldn't really think if it was, especially with the outcome. I thought the outcome of the SummerSlam match was much better than this one, obviously, because John Cena won. So right. I would have to go back and check that match out again and rewatch it and compare. But it was a really good match, a great match even. And I thought that, you know, I'm getting a little tired, though, of the kind of matches that they have where it's spot after spot after spot. And it, you know, it's spot, pin, spot, pin, spot, pin. And, like, sometimes I really enjoy those matches. And in those, and I guess in an AJ John Cena match, that's where you're going to see it the most. But I don't know. It turned me off at some point in that match a little bit towards the end. I was getting a little turned off by that. I was kind of sick of it, and I was like, all right, like just end the match. I know Cena's probably going to win here. Let's just get it over.
Nick, you said it was a good match.
He had a couple cool new moves he wanted to show off.
Yeah, but wait, I want to tag Nick on some because he says good match, it's good match, it's good match. But then he said exactly the reasons why I didn't think it was a great match, that it was a spot fest, spot pin, spot pin. And I watched it, and I just never felt like, which I never really feel like in a Cena match, that he's in any jeopardy of losing. He's always, like he gets put in a calf crusher, then into the STF, and then he jumps right up and gets into his AA position. Why can't he sell that his leg's a little bit hurt? Maybe he can't pull off his power move. And I lost.
You know what? Against any other opponent, I would agree with you. But it was AJ Styles who had his number. That was the only reason that I was thinking, okay, John Cena could be in trouble here.
Do you think maybe you didn't believe he had a chance of losing because it was John Cena or because, like me, it was the fourth match and there was no way they were going to let him go 4-0?
No, I thought he could lose again because I think AJ Styles is really a tremendous wrestler, and I think that he.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt in that. He's definitely wrestler of the year. for the last year, I in my opinion.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting was when we were talking yesterday, Joe, you said the feud that Cena's having with AJ Styles isn't between AJ Styles and John Cena. Can you elaborate on that? Because I think that was a really interesting take.
I just feel like most of the promos that he's cut on AJ, where AJ just suddenly is standing there just kind of eating it, and the only fans that are booing are the smarky fans like me. John Cena, I don't feel, is in a feud with AJ Styles. He's in a feud with smarky fans.
Go ahead. Finish your – I didn't want to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was pretty much wrapping it up. I just think when he comes out and he cuts those promos, the things that he says, they're not really directed towards AJ Styles. They're directed towards us. I think John Cena is right now trying to – he's a babyface to kids and older people. Not old fans, but older people. I have a lot of friends who hate John Cena, but their parents love John Cena. And he is a babyface to them till the end. But he is a heel to me, and he's a heel to smarky fans. And when he's cutting those promos, they're to us, not AJ Styles.
I mean, I agree. Like, I think that, you know what's funny is, I agree with your point on that, but I also think there's another way to look at it. As far as storyline that I'm not a fan of, is that John Cena's been on this tirade about how the new era is coming in, it's pushing him out, trying to push him out, and he's not going to stand for it. Well, they're using AJ Styles as symbolism for that new era. Meanwhile, I don't like that they're doing that because AJ Styles is so good, he shouldn't be a symbol of the new era. He should be the threat against John Cena. He should be the guy standing in his way of getting that WWE title, and I felt like they never gave him that. They never really made him out to be that in the feud. I felt like it was just John Cena against the new era. Like, that's what it felt like for the whole storyline. It was John Cena. Oh, he's the part-timer now. He's not going to get it done anymore because he's old school, and now there's a new era coming in. It's like, dude, you're facing AJ Styles, one of the greatest wrestlers of this generation. How can you act like that?
I think one of the things that we can look forward to, though, is because I'm pretty sure John Cena, they're going to have him break Rick's record. So that means he has to lose that championship at some point. And whoever he loses that championship to, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it ain't going to be Randy Orton, that's for sure.
Gotta be, I hope not.
Spoiler alert.
Speaking of Randy Orton, let's get into the main event of the evening.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us here with Sleeper Wire's Royal Rumble preview.
We're done. It's over. That's please. It.
It's all kitty games. You can't leave a mark on the champ's face. Come Royal Rumble, understand, when you step in the ring, your arms are just too short to box with God.
I miss me some CM Punk. All right, Royal Rumble, 1 to 10.
Do you miss him because the only time you ever got to see him in the last few years was like in a minute when he lost in UFC?
He got his ass whooped, yeah. They couldn't kick his mouse ass, but they could kick his actual ass. So we did miss the purple match. I just skipped right over it. So I'm sorry.
That's not
the
fair, though.
The purple match.
That's not fair. That's not fair. We can discuss the purple situation, but it was a good match. It was fast.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, Joe, but I thought it dragged a little bit in the beginning.
Cruiserweight match.
In the beginning, I thought it went a little too slow, but it picked up.
Maybe.
I thought it got better.
I feel like it was like a 7-minute match total.
Well, I think the last 7 minutes were the best part. But it was a longer match than you think. All right. You know, I mean, if you were watching it with Adam last night, yeah, I can understand he was probably talking your ear off and saying a lot of diva, 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 and purple match, you know? And like jarring up words, you were like,
I brought the purple to his attention, and then he was kind of blown away by it. He's like, what do you mean the purple? I was like, watch this. I was like, watch when this match starts. Everything's going to be fucking purple.
But we started counting. Like, and by, I swear, by the time that Swan got to the ring, we had counted 10 things that were changed purple.
They try to make it seem like too much of like a special event. Like he compared it to the midget division that Eric Bischoff had at one point. Because they don't treat him like regular wrestlers. They're like, hey, watch this sideshow. And I mean, everything's purple.
It's true. I'm not a fan of the presentation of the cruiserweights, but I mean, they're just trying to make it feel special, but I think they're kind of hurting their own brand by doing that. But let's talk about the match itself. I think the cruiserweight match was good for what it was. I'm happy Neville won. As much as I like Rich Swann, I was still happy that Neville won because I think he deserved it, especially for being cast aside for so long with no direction. This is what he needs, and I think this is a good way to build him back up. So I was happy with what happened last night with the Cruiserweight.
I think Neville as the head of that division is a really smart idea. I'm excited to see Austin Aries off his injury, and I would really like to see Kalisto on 205.
I would too, and I agree with you about Austin Aries. I can't wait to see him finally back wrestling, and you know he's gonna, like you said, he's going to be a part of that division. So I think Neville's kind of he's kind of the transition till they get Austin Aries fully medically cleared and him back at that. Like, I think he'll be the head of that division as the top heel.
That'll be a money feud.
Yeah, it'll be a great match. I never like the heel versus heel dynamic. So in order for that to work for me, I think Neville has to go back to being faced. But I don't know. It's too.
Well, I think as Aries is on the announce table, Neville could easily start taunting Aries from the ring. Like, everybody wants to see you fight, but he's not medically cleared, so he can't stand up for himself. Neville starts bullying him a little. I could see Austin Aries be the face easily.
But Joe, you've been well versed, I'm sure, in your TNA history. I mean, Austin Aries as a face, it was never that good.
He's definitely a better heel.
Right. I mean, he's the quintessential heel. Like, I just don't see it face. I've seen that era. I don't watch TNA much anymore. I'll be honest with you. I've lost out of touch with it. But I was at my peak when Austin Aries got his push, winning the X Division title and going on and facing Bobby Roode for the TNA world title. That was about where I was as far as my peak. And even a TNA creative that doesn't know what the hell they're doing, they still could see that Austin Aries was not that great as a face and turned him heel just like that. So I'm just saying, Austin Aries as a face doesn't really, to me, do anything. And I don't think it'll do anything good for him either. I think the only way you're going to get that is have Neville run this heel turn for a while. Maybe even if Aries gets medically cleared a lot sooner than they actually allow the match to happen, I think build up, and eventually they can go towards the Austin Aries versus Neville feud where Neville has turned back to being a face. I think that's what it'll have to be in order for that feud to be like, oh shit, I can't wait to see that match. It's my opinion.
Yeah, I can easily see that.
Yeah.
They need a better baby face.
Can we talk about the Rumble now?
Mr. I can't stand the small guys. Let's go.
Right. Yeah. Adam only cares about Great Khali, Big Show, anybody who's big and can't wrestle.
Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, Mojo Rawley. Big Cass.
That's it. Tugboat.
All right. Let's get into this Rumble then, because I held back when you were actually talking about the Reigns match. I'll talk about Reigns during the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the way I have this worked out is the first 10 we'll talk about, the second 10 we'll talk about, the third 10 we'll talk about. So
God.
The first 10 are Big Cass, Chris Jericho, Kalisto, Mojo Rawley, Jack
Gallagher?
Jack Gallagher.
You idiot.
Stupid idiot. Mark Henry, Braun Strowman, Sami Zayn, Big Show, and the Perfect Ten were the first ten. Out of those guys.
Do you even know the guy's name?
Ty Dillinger?
Yeah, there you go. I was waiting for you.
I do. I actually like Ty Dillinger. I actually like him. So I will learn his name.
Oh, okay.
What did we think about the way the Rumble started? What was your build up? How did you feel about it when you saw the first 10 names come out? When did you lose faith?
Well, Joe, I think you and I should take a back seat to this for just a second and let Steve answer because we haven't heard from Steve in a while. So, Steve.
Let's do it.
That was a lot of questions. Yeah, that was a lot of questions. I'm concerned that if – I want to know if Big Cass got credit for all that promo time after he came out. Does he get credit for that in terms of how long he lasted? Because that could make a big – that's like a 15-minute difference.
This is the first Royal Rumble where there was actually 2 minutes between the first and second entrant.
Yeah. Like what was that? So in the first 10, I was excited to see – Strowman out early because I had a feeling that he was going to have a pretty good tear. I was excited to see Sami Zayn out early because I wanted him to last for a long time. I thought there were a lot of interesting stories you could tell with him. And I was particularly excited to see Jericho out early because I knew that Jericho was just going to hide out the whole time. And I really thought Jericho was going to be in the final four, which I think he might have been, or maybe close to. I forget at this point. Close. But my surprise entrant was Jack Gallagher. I don't know how anybody could look more ghost-like than Sheamus in the ring, but he does. And to come out with his umbrella and do his shtick in front of that audience I think was a great idea. It kind of gets him with his rainbow trunks and all that, kind of gets him noticed. You see a different kind of character, and then he's out quickly. I believe by Mark Henry. Yeah, he tossed him. So I thought that was a fun part for him. Surprise performance for this part of the show. Man, the surprise performance, there really wasn't a surprise performance. I guess Braun Strowman, he eliminated what? How many people in that first?
Seven. He eliminated seven people.
So, but not. But at the beginning there... I don't think he knocked out anybody. Well, he knocked out Kalisto, but I don't think he knocked him out early. But he just looked strong in the beginning, and I like that.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
The first ten. I will say my favorite things about the first ten, and then my least favorite things. My favorite thing: there was three things that I wanted in the Rumble, and I had to get one of the three things, or I wasn't going to have a good time. And I got Ty Dillinger at number 10. If that hadn't happened, I was going to be so bullshit. But it got it, and that was great. Another one of my favorite moments was watching Kalisto run down that long, long ramp. It took him forever and a lot of steps, and I found it hilarious.
Why was the ramp so long? Every one of those guys was winded by the time they got down there.
It was just because of the arena they were in. I think it's a football field, and so they were just like right in the middle of the field.
Oh my god! It was crazy.
Though.
It was crazy.
That was hilarious.
It was crazy to see all the pictures of them on the big guys on the carts coming down to the ring that I didn't even know that was happening until like I read that earlier today.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
I did see some of that. That was I wasn't sure if that was real or not, but I've heard it was. I thought those were just like something somebody made, but I think it was real.
Nah, but it was
they
too many guys on carts.
So
yeah.
Wait, what are you guys talking about? I don't know.
So okay, because the runway was so long from the entrance to the ring, they apparently were putting like bigger guys on these carts to get them down to the ring, like Braun Strowman, Big Show, Mark Henry, Big E was on one. I mean, they were like these like little kind of go-kart kind things where somebody would drive them down and they were standing on them and getting ridden down to the ring from them.
During
the
Rumble.
Remember,
yeah, like
when Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh, never mind. You didn't see NXT.
I saw that very last. I saw the very last match between.
Do you remember
Mr.
the
Glorious
thing that Shinsuke was on when
Shinsuke.
He came down and he was holding on to when the lights were blasting?
No.
All right. Well, regardless, it was that. There was this guy near the crowd at the very beginning of the ramp. The music would hit. The camera would show the guy coming down. Then the camera would get back to the ring, and the big guy would jump on this cart, and he'd get driven the rest of the way to the ring, and then he'd get off and run into the ring. But one of my, I really thought when they started making this lineup for the Royal Rumble that we weren't going to get any wasted spots. Mm-hmm. Jack Gallagher is one of my favorite things going on in wrestling right now, but that felt like a wasted spot.
Wait a second. Wait a second. James Ellsworth was number 11. Now, we don't waste spots.
Hello. We're at 1 through 10.
That's right.
Can you join us for a second?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Go ahead,
Joe. I felt like Sin Cara also was kind of a wasted spot. Both those guys, when they came down, I was like, oh, well, they're not winning the Royal Rumble at all. And I kind of thought we weren't going to get any of those.
Wait, was Sin Cara in the match? I didn't think he was
in the match. I'm sorry. I meant Kalisto.
Oh, okay.
That is super racist. I apologize.
Well, you are maskist.
Yes, there we go. But when both of those came down, I was just like, oh, man, I was hoping we weren't going to get any of these at least this early.
But at least we got the better Braun
Strowman. I love Braun Strowman's show, though. He did a great job. And I Jericho is my favorite thing about part of it. I don't remember if this happened during the first 10, but at one point I just remember Michael Cole going, oh, you might hear Chris Jericho behind us because he had gotten out of the ring and was for some reason behind the announce table just chilling.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, now that you mentioned Sin Cara, I just had a brilliant idea. You'll like this, Nick. So he should have been in the Royal Rumble. And what should have happened was Braun Strowman's in there. Sin Cara comes running down, does his trampoline entrance, gets just clear of the ropes, and Strowman just punches him right back over.
That would have been awesome.
Well, I'll tell you guys what, okay? So my turn for the first 10. I think that it was an obvious thing to have Ty Dillinger at number 10. I thought that the first 10 were fine. But what I would have liked to have seen in this first 10, to be honest, is I would have liked to have seen Goldberg and Lesnar somewhere in that first 10 and have eliminated each other.
I would have liked to have seen that happen earlier as well.
Right. And maybe not in the first 10, but at least in that first 20. Definitely. Would have liked to have seen that have already happened in the Rumble. Because I would have liked that to have happened to been like, oh, okay, great. These guys are gone. They're the big names. We knew that was going to happen because I hated what ended up happening in the last 10 with both of them. So that would have been a better alternative that they had eliminated each other and fought all the way up the ramp. That would have been better to me, but that's my one gripe with the first 10.
If one of them or both had been in and out in the first 10, people would literally have been sitting around going, wait, what the hell is going to happen the rest of this Rumble?
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't have sat there in the last 10 going, okay, Brock Lesnar and Goldberg are going to come out, great. And they're going to eliminate a bunch of guys, and then The Undertaker's going to come out.
Now,
and then,
is that because their name value demands that they come out later, or is that just all positioning in the back? Like, I'm Goldberg, I should come out last.
But, Brock Lesnar, it's not individual positioning in the back. It's the creative positioning in the back. Because guys like Lesnar and Goldberg, they don't have the egos where they feel like they should be. Well, I mean, maybe Goldberg to a certain extent, but I think at this point in his career, he doesn't even care. Both guys are all about the money at this point. So I don't think they would have given a damn whether they were 1 and 2 or where they came out in this year's Rumble. So you think
this was just a mistake on creative's point of view?
Oh, absolutely. I think everything that up with the WWE is because of WWE creative. I think they don't know what the hell they're doing. I think they're going by what Vince McMahon says, who's gone senile and crazy at this point in his life and can't figure out how to do a great storyline anymore or push wrestlers anymore. And that's the major problem with the WWE. They rely way too much on older talent, and it's absurd. And that's why these past 3 WrestleMania seasons, I have been so zoned out and could have given 2 shits less about what was happening at WrestleMania because most times it was shit. But
one more thing I want to say about Brock and Goldberg is I feel like one of their thought processes behind putting them so late, weeks before the Rumble came, when they first announced Goldberg was going to be there, it's like, oh, God, is Goldberg going to win the Royal Rumble? Is Goldberg going to win the Royal Rumble? But then as the weeks went on, I feel like the general consensus among fans was Goldberg's not winning the Royal Rumble. Neither is Brock Lesnar. They're going to fight and eliminate each other. And I feel like that was a wide consensus. So in the Rumble, they were like, make him come out almost last so that people are like, oh, my God, are Brock Lesnar or Goldberg going to win the Royal Rumble?
You know what is so screwed up is that just because fans catch on to what WWE might be doing doesn't mean that it's a bad idea and you should change it.
True.
And that's what I hate is they think that, oh, well, fans already guessed this one. Let's not do it. No, just because we guess that's what's going to happen doesn't mean it's always a bad idea. Like, if we saw John Cena and Undertaker wrestling with the WWE title on the line at this year's WrestleMania, I think that would be great because it's John Cena as a 16-time heavyweight champion versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. I think that would have been a fantastic match. As much as I can't really stand John Cena that much, I still can give him credit where credit's due. And say that would probably be a great match, and John Cena could actually give Undertaker a somewhat decent match. So, you know, if they had just stuck to that, like the plan was about a year ago at this point, they probably would have a really great main event on their hands. But now we're looking at Roman Reigns versus Undertaker and John Cena versus who the hell knows, and at this point, who the hell cares?
Ugh.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I'm going to skip ahead for you, Adam. Let's go to 11 through 20 because I want to get to my best moment of that, and I also don't want this show to be 2 hours long.
There's actually not much going on, so I'll just go through the names of 11
through 20. Wait a minute. I just want to say this real quick. I think we can all agree 11 through 20, the best moment was Dean Ambrose go-adding James Ellsworth into the ring and getting chokeslammed out of the fucking ring by Drew.
Hit hard.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Golly. I was so. You gotta give it to him.
I couldn't believe he took that bump. That was amazing. That was incredible. That's it. That's the best thing Ellsworth has ever done in his career.
Got himself a Royal Rumble moment.
Right. Yeah. Steve, do you have any comments on that?
It was a pretty nasty bump. I was excited in this group of guys. I liked Baron Corbin. He showed good fire in the Royal Rumble. And he took out Strowman, which I think was a nice little – that was one of the few eliminations that I thought, oh, okay, that could be an interesting story going down the road. Strowman versus Corbin might be a good one.
Who were the 10?
Yeah, so go ahead. We have Dean Ambrose, Corbin, Kingston, Miz, Sheamus, Big E, Rusev, Cesaro, Xavier Woods.
And James Ellsworth.
Yes.
Ellsworth, obviously, I thought was another wasted spot, except that we got that good moment. So, I mean, there's always space for one of those moments, but I felt like there was too many of those entrants. We named both those tag teams, The New Day and Cesaro and Sheamus. Do we really think Cesaro and Sheamus were going to win the Royal Rumble after just losing the tag titles earlier in the night? I didn't.
Or New Day.
Well, by the time 20 rolled around, I was starting to be a little irritated with who had come out. I felt as though, you know, now we're being force-fed the stars at the very end, and I didn't know why that was. And then the surprise entry by 20, you're more than halfway over, and there was really no surprise. I mean, maybe Ty Dillinger would be the biggest surprise out of the first 20, but I was expecting Angle to pop in there somewhere. I was expecting Samoa Joe maybe to be in there, and where were they? It just became like something else I would see on a Raw or a SmackDown. It didn't feel by 20. It didn't feel special.
Joe, I don't know why you're bringing up the name Kenny Omega. That means absolutely nothing to Adam. He might even think that's like a frat house.
No, he knows. He said he saw the match.
I did. Because Steve sent it to me. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. Kappa, kappa, kappa.
I'll say one thing that I was thinking when I rewatched the Royal Rumble this morning with my daughter. One of the things that did did strike me that maybe a lot of us did to the WWE, but it's their fault. The last three Royal Rumbles were ended on boos. Like, nobody was happy. It was garbage. And I felt like they had an obligation this year to make this Royal Rumble special.
Yep.
And it at first seemed like they were well on their way. They were packing it with all these people. It didn't seem like there was room for wasted slots. When we finally, the Mania started, it seemed like, oh, there's only like 8 spots left. Like who is it going to be? And then I think some of us maybe fantasy booked the Royal Rumble a little too well. And then when they couldn't compete with what we had imagined, it was just like, this Rumble sucks. Same old, same old.
You think so? You think like they read what's online and go, you know, that's not what we had planned at all. So we can't live up to those expectations.
No. Just... I don't think that's what they read. I think that's what happened to us. I think, I mean, they are undoubtedly know that the last three Royal Rumbles did not go over well. They undoubtedly know
Rumbles. No, but you know what? That's their bullshit reasoning that Roman Reigns gets a reaction and he gets a huge reaction. So you know what? Let's keep the huge reaction going by having Roman Reigns. And I'm sorry, Adam. We're skipping to the last 9 or 10 because I can't even, I don't even want to talk about this match this long. But we've already gone way too long. So let's get to it. Roman Reigns, everybody, spoiler alert, was the number 30 entrant in this Royal Rumble. And I gotta say, that was the biggest horseshit move. I know it sounds like smarky bullshit, but it really is. It was such a let, especially when you consider all the options that were possible after The Undertaker came in at number 29. He said, okay, maybe Finn Balor is really healthy enough and he could have been the number 30 entrant. How amazing would that have been? No, that wasn't going to happen. Okay, fine. Nakamura, he lost his title the night before at NXT TakeOver, having a knee injury, but nobody believes that knee injury was real at this point. I haven't seen any reports stating otherwise. So Nakamura could have been the 30th entrant, especially because he was the last entrant. They could have played up his entrance. My God, that runway is so long enough, they could have done it really well also. But no, okay, so that wasn't going to happen. Samoa Joe, everybody thought if there was one guy of the rumored that was a distinct possibility, it was Samoa Joe. He had nothing to do with NXT. He hasn't been in any storylines as of recent.
And he was in town. He was at
NXT. He was in town.
He was there. You knew right. He was in town.
Right. So, of course, of all the possibilities, you said to yourself, okay, Samoa Joe has to be the biggest. He'll be the big surprise entrant of this Rumble. Guaranteed, I will put money on it. No, of course that doesn't happen. Why would it? Because we got a different Samoan answer for you. It's a Samoan bullshit artist, Roman Reigns, coming in at number 30.
So you're mad that he just even appeared at number 30. He didn't win, but just the fact that he appeared at number 30, you're upset.
The fact that, first off, you know what? It was a combination of a shitstorm that led up to my disappointment in Roman Reigns being number 30, okay? It was the fact that you look back at the last 29 entrants and you say to yourself, what was the surprise entrant in this Royal Rumble? What, Ty Dillinger at number 10?
That wasn't so much of a surprise as a given.
No, everybody had that already locked down, predicted. You could put money on that and your odds would have meant shit because everybody knew that was happening. Jack Gallagher was a surprise. I'm sorry, but this is a guy I've seen on WWE programming. Why would that surprise me at all? Mark Henry? Okay, we haven't seen him in a while. Does that mean I don't know he actually exists in the WWE? Come on. Am I stupid?
Mark Henry was only there because it was in Texas. It was in his hometown.
Exactly. So what other surprises were there? I don't think there was any other. Right.
Except that Roman.
Right.
And Roman, in my opinion, was a giant middle finger. Exactly. You ask Adam, I was enjoying myself. Adam was not. Adam was not very impressed with the whole show.
What?
Very much. Adam wasn't very impressed all night long. And
really?
Especially during the Rumble, he was like, this isn't very good. And I was like, no, man, this is good. When Roman Reigns' music hit, I got pissed off. Mm-hmm. I was literally pissed. I felt red in the face, and I was like, is this for real right now?
Yep.
If this... Like, he was like, are you serious? I was like, this might ruin the whole Royal Rumble yep. for me. And it almost did.
Right. See, my point was, here was the scenario of my night last night, okay? Like, I always look up stuff on the internet all the time. And last night, I just so happened to get a text from my friend who's the same way. And he looked up the betting odds for last night's show. And it said, the betting odds were 100% right. Because they had Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble. So I said to myself, damn. Like, I was like, I hope that's not true. And part of me thought it was possible it wasn't true. So I was still holding out hope that, like, at the number 30 spot, somebody could have appeared in that Rumble that would have been, like, the betting odds would have been so off because they didn't see this person coming back. And for it to
and
be
that's
Roman
how I
Reigns.
It was a middle finger. Because they right. set the whole night up that way as if no surprises yet. No surprises yet. Oh, Taker's already out? All right, who's yep. this going to be? Who's this going to be? Samoa Joe. It's got to be Samoa Joe.
Yep.
Roman Reigns.
Right, yeah. exactly. They had had no surprises prior to that. It was the nail in the coffin for the Royal Rumble match itself. Because up to that point, it had so much hope to be a really good Royal Rumble match. Not a great one, but I thought it was a pretty solid one up until that point. And that's where it turned into shit.
You know,
yeah. So yesterday I watched. Yesterday I watched the Royal Rumble from 1992, with Ric Flair winning at the end, and then I watched the Royal Rumble from 2002, where Stone Cold won at the end, and he looked like an extra from The Walking Dead. You sure that wasn't 2002?
Yep, 2001. Because 2002 was Triple H.
Oh, there you go. Well, 2001, where he won, and. Those were both great, and the buildup was great, and the everything about both of those Rumbles were great. So then I watched this one, and it didn't feel like it got going until we were in the 20s. And then it felt like it started picking up steam. The stuff with – as soon as Brock Lesnar came out and cleared house, and then Enzo Amore came out and just got his ass handed to him.
Another waste of a spot.
Yep,
Enzo Amore.
I was going to say it too.
Yeah. I was like, ugh, God, he's in this match too? Because I was starting to do the countdown of like who's left in the Royal Rumble at that point. I was like, okay, Lesnar, Goldberg, and Undertaker for sure. There were like three unannounced names that I knew of. And I was like, all right, Ziggler, I think at that point didn't come out, and somebody else. So I was like, all right, we're good. We still have three different surprises possible. And I was like, Enzo Amore? All right, great. That's one of them gone. So, yeah. Sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
No, I think that we're good, and I think we should get into our final thoughts of the Royal Rumble and everything in general. I mean, we know who wins the Royal Rumble, and I want to get your thoughts on that.
All right. Steve, please start it off because me and Joe have taken over a lot of this time, and I feel bad. So, Steve, this is your moment to shine.
Don't feel bad. You have very good insight on this stuff, and I think the listeners appreciate your opinions. So you want to know what, Adam? Hey. You want to know my final opinion on Randy Orton winning?
While you're at it.
If it's Randy Orton versus Cena at WrestleMania, I'm not interested. I've seen that match a million times. I don't need to see it again. I hope something else happens between then. So that it's a different matchup. The Roman Reigns thing, I thought they missed a huge – this is my final point. The Roman Reigns thing, I think they missed a huge opportunity. You guys get pissed off that he came out at 30. I thought they only had to do one or two things to make it mean something. Either have him jump a good guy in the back and take his spot at 30. Imagine if he beat up Finn Balor backstage and came out in instead of him. He would have been – heel turn. Perfect.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Or
made that a little more impressed. That would have made that more special.
Yeah, make it special. Or he gets his ass kicked by Kevin Owens so bad, but yet he comes out like bandaged up and, you know, fights through it. That either way you go.
No, that still would have been stupid.
Yeah, but either way you go, it just adds something to the fact that he came out at all.
I think the Finn Balor thing would have been stupid too. I would have been pissed by that. But anyways, go ahead, Steve.
I still would have booed it.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what your ideas are, Steve.
I enjoyed the other parts of the pay-per-view. The Royal Rumble was okay. I think they missed out on a lot of opportunities to tell some small stories in there and spin off some new feuds, which I like to see. I think they missed out on having Sami Zayn run into somebody to get something going with him. It doesn't get me too excited for WrestleMania, and at the beginning of the show, I said this was an opportunity for the WWE to win me back as a viewer. I think I'm going to remain a casual viewer at this point.
Yeah,
but I probably will tune in to the pay-per-views.
What's your number grade for this show, Steve?
For the whole thing,
out of ten.
Out of ten.
Yeah, the whole thing.
6.5.
You're generous. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Overall, I think one of the giant missteps, maybe this was just me, but I thought Miz should have come out to Daniel Bryan's music, and he should have come out number 30. And I think with Daniel Bryan's music hit, people would have lost their freaking minds. And when the Miz came out, it would have been like, it would have put him over as the biggest heel in the company.
I heard that idea.
But besides
that was a good one.
I was actually relieved when Randy Orton took Roman Reigns out. Until I realized that it meant another John Cena, Randy Orton. I'm going to hold on to hope and hope that these fans out here are right and something will change that match at Elimination Chamber. Even if it's a three-way embrace in the match, that's better than just Randy Orton, John Cena again for the thousandth time. Without the Roman Reigns middle finger, the whole show, I give a 7. With the Roman Reigns middle finger, I give it a 5.5.
Well, listen, I don't know how you can take the Roman Reigns middle finger out of it. It happened. Like, there's no way to reverse that.
Except it wasn't. It's like they were like, they gave it to you from the side, and then when you directly looked at him, they pulled it back. They didn't let Roman Reigns win the Royal Rumble. It wasn't like they just stood there with the middle finger in your face. They just sort of like, fuck you. Well, we did. And then it was like, all right, throw him out of the ring.
I felt like they stared directly in my eyes with the middle finger up in my face and were like, you okay with that? Okay with that, bro? You better be, because it's happening.
What are you going to do about it? You going to cancel your subscription? You going to cancel your subscription?
No, exactly. There was nothing we were going to do about it. So I definitely felt like they did it right to my face, and they didn't even care they did. So, all right, my final thoughts. I think it's pretty obvious at this point we're not going to get Randy Orton versus John Cena at WrestleMania. It just doesn't make sense from a storyline perspective. Of course, they could start to build on something tomorrow night on SmackDown.
Here's why I think that we will, because John Cena has to be in that match. They already said that John Cena is defending the title in that chamber.
Right.
So I don't think John Cena is losing it at the Elimination Chamber.
I really think he is. I really think he is.
You think he's going to lose it to Bray?
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, that's the story that's been built since what? September? I mean, how can – all right, WWE's pretty stupid in all types of levels, but how could they miss the boat on something so painfully obvious in Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt for the WWE title? Not that I'm excited for that match either, but at least it would mean Bray Wyatt is a WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's something that he should have been a long time ago. It's been a long time coming for Bray Wyatt. So that's something I'm excited about. In regards to this Royal Rumble pay-per-view, though, the undercard was probably one of the best undercards we've had in a while that I can recall. I thought it had some great matches. AJ Styles versus John Cena was a really great match. As Steve pointed out, and I pointed out, it was a little spotty at times, but I still thought the action was great. I still enjoyed the match as a whole. Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, being that it was a notice DQ match, and before the Rumble-Roman catastrophe, I thought it was a great setup for a Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns match without the WWE title involved. At WrestleMania, that's what I thought they were going with. And I thought that was a great way to set it up. And what would have even been better is if Roman Reigns had eliminated Braun himself. That's something I had been waiting for personally in the Rumble match when Braun was out there. It never happened, which I thought was ridiculous in itself. But overall for the pay-per-view, like, I'm going to have to say a 5 because of the way the Royal Rumble match shook out. I mean, look, if you're going to call the pay-per-view the Royal Rumble, you better have a damn good Royal Rumble match to cap off the night. And if you don't, your rating is going to show that you didn't. Because as great as the undercard could be, it could have been the greatest Royal Rumble undercard of all time. And if you deliver a shit Royal Rumble match, you're going to get a shit rating, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's called the Royal Rumble. So if your main event is no good, it should show up in people's ratings. And I'm sure it will. I mean, this certainly didn't have the reaction that the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match had at the end of that main event that we saw at SummerSlam. So it was lackluster.
I was pretty flippin' shocked when Brock Lesnar just got speared and tossed out by Goldberg right quick. I will be honest. I popped for that. I thought that was pretty crazy.
I didn't like it. I thought, what was the idea of that? If they're going to build up to Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, what was the point? Like, what if they're going to fight each other, why at this point? What would be the reason?
Yeah, he's already 2.5 out of 3 matches. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Like, there's no reason Brock Lesnar should even either expect a match from Goldberg or expect to even win that match.
Unless he just jumps Brock Lesnar at some, unless he just jumps Goldberg at some point and demolishes him, and then Goldberg's like, "You want another match?" Yeah, I feel you, but
I guess. But it's at that point, then that's even making him look more like a bitch than he already looks now.
Yeah, when he did that, I said to Joe, "I said, there's another great 48 seconds of Goldberg, but that is what he's good at, right? He's good at the
30 seconds." The minute.
I made a lot of money for that.
If there's a 30-minute WrestleMania match where they just put on a clinic, that would be amazing.
I'll tell you what. I went to WrestleMania 20 as a kid where Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar was like – at that time in my life, that was a dream match for me because at the time, I was growing up where Brock Lesnar was probably one of my favorites of all time just because of the sheer – ability he had at the time, his speed for such a big guy, and with how big he was and how he was just a great wrestler all around, that was my favorite guy at the time. Again,
now, how old were you when that match took place?
I was 14 when that match happened.
Now, when at 14 years old, did you understand that match was not good?
Oh yeah, I hated it. Yeah, okay. I hated it because it doesn't take an idiot, even at the age of 14, to understand when two men that you're looking forward to tear each other apart just stand there locked up for 10 minutes and that's all they're doing. You can understand that was terrible. You know what I mean? And as a kid, that crushed me because obviously Lesnar came after Goldberg. So years before that, I was even younger and I liked Goldberg. Because Goldberg would come in and beat the crap out of guys and freaking win. And they both had the undefeated streak at a time. So I was excited for that match. So when that happened, I was crushed. That was like, you know, you ever hear the Shawn Michaels, the boyhood dream has come true? Oh, yeah. Well, that was like the boyhood dream has been crushed.
You lost your smile. I had those moments.
That's right. So, you know, so if this is going to happen again at WrestleMania, I might just skip this year's WrestleMania, depending on the card, to be honest. I might not watch WrestleMania.
I would never skip a WrestleMania, but WrestleManias where I would fast forward through parts of it.
I'll show up just for
Triple H versus Rollins.
I wish I'd skipped last year's WrestleMania, I'll be honest. Because that was another situation. I was excited for Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose in the street fight. I thought that could have been a really good match. And that
it was garbage.
Could have been.
Oh, it was total garbage.
Should have been.
That match was trash.
Yeah, literally. It should have been better, though.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's enough about Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. Do we have any final thoughts on the Royal Rumble show? We're done. What do you want me to do? We're done.
Do you need a final thoughts?
Well, I mean, you might have an extra final thought on the very end of the final thought that you're adding.
I'll tell you what. If you guys want more wrestling, let us know by like downloading and listening to this episode, and we'll do in 2 weeks. We'll do Elimination Chamber. And what your two Elimination Chamber? Is that what your thing is?
No, I'm too busy for Elimination.
You just got the network, man. You can watch that.
I bought the network for the Royal Rumble. I'm about to cancel that subscription.
Oh, that's awful.
He's not gonna. He's all talk. He's like all the rest of the smarks. And you know what's maybe funny is, Joe?
Maybe he'll get into some shows.
You know what's funny, Joe, is he talks like the smarks, but he ain't smarky at all. He didn't even know that the women aren't called divas anymore or that cruiserweights are run purple.
the purple championship. That's it.
Yeah.
There's the blue championship, the red championship, and the purple championship.
I do definitely suggest to anyone in this room, though, if you didn't watch the UK tournament, it was really good.
They had two days,
eight matches each day to actually try to tell a story and introduce you to people, and I felt like they did a darn good job.
Well, that's something I will have to go back and watch.
Holy Foley! Is it time?
I was just going to say there's five new episodes of Holy Foley coming out.
All right, guys, that was the show.
We appreciate it. Absolutely. We appreciate you guys listening. Where can you find us? Where can you love us? Sleeperwire.com is where you can find us. Sleeperwire Show on Twitter. I'm Adam at Sleeperwire and Nick at Sleeperwire as well as Steve. At Sleeperwire. And Joe, where can people find you if they're looking for you? Not that anybody is, but where can they find you?
You look up The Fugitive on Xbox Live.
Nice. All right. If we got nothing else to say, then we are going to sign off.
For Adam, Steve, and Joe, I'm Nick Summerall saying so long, everybody. We gonna blow your-